He caught fish in the frigid waters of the North Sea, then turned them into a healthy business in California. This fish oil entrepreneur leads us to ask, what is essential to me about omega-3?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned into the 941st edition of the Food Chain Radio Program right here on the GCN Radio Network. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way down there in Puerto Madryn, Argentina, who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Aaron Shore at the controls. Aaron.
Yes.
Do you supplement with fish oil?
I do.
Good for you. And maybe you'll hang around. Maybe you'll learn why. Also, big thanks to producer Kelly Bayer for working on the stories for us. Folks, fatty acids are essential to our physical health. These fats cannot be manufactured by our body. They must be obtained from the foods we eat. Interestingly enough, the fats originate in green plants and work their way up the food chain to become concentrated in higher life forms like animals and fish. Throughout time, we landlubbers obtained our essential fatty acids by eating the meat of our farm animals. But when we began confining our animals in concentrated feedlots and fed them grain, the essential omega-3 fatty acids went missing from our food chain. Like many ardent gymnasts, Opime often suffered from the aches and pains of sprained muscles, but unlike most other gymnasts, Yor lived next to the frigid waters of the North Sea in Norway, and so had easy access to the means of treating aches and pains, and that means was fish oil, rich in omega-3 fatty acids. As an MBA student at Santa Clara University, Opime saw opportunity in our omega-3 deficient industrial foods and so built a healthy business in California from the fish he caught in the North Sea. This omega-3 entrepreneur leads us to ask, what is essential to me and you about omega-3s? How did he grow a business to supplement our diet with the essential nutrient? And can the world's population of fish be sustained given the world's need for omega-3s? Who better to ask than the omega-3 entrepreneur himself, Yor Opheim? He, the founder and CEO of Nordic Naturals in California. Yor, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you.
So happy to have you aboard Nordic Naturals. And you are a true Nordic man yourself, right?
I am. I'm from Norway. I'm born in Arctic Norway, yes.
A genuine Viking?
Well, at some point, yeah.
Good. So this will be the all-Viking edition of the Food Chain. We have an Olsen and we have an Opheim, and we do have that Viking in our backgrounds, and we're proud of it. But your story is really interesting because it's a story that takes one from Norway to Santa Clara University, from Santa Clara University to Silicon Valley, from Silicon Valley to Nordic Naturals. So tell us a little bit about that amazing journey of yours.
I started in Norway, and I wanted to get an MBA. And at that point in Norway, since the schools are funded by the government, you don't have necessarily the same ability to choose. So at that point, they required that you started on the bottom and you worked yourself up to a bachelor and then took an MBA. And I didn't get accepted to that program, and I didn't have that many years time to go through that route. So I just went to the United States to finished my education, and that's how I ended up here. I started out in Oregon, and then I went to Santa Clara. And when I was done, the economy was not good anywhere, but they needed people in Silicon Valley. So I started working within the high technology, and I'm still here. So that's
Well,
short version. Yeah.
Weather's nicer here too, right?
I'm sorry?
Yeah. The weather is nicer in Silicon Valley than it is on the north coast of Norway.
Yeah, I just came back. I've been traveling for about 17 days and just came back and it was snowing there. So, yes, the weather is better here.
Well, you know, with respect to that, there's one question that just keeps popping in my mind, and that is the latitude of fish. Is it true that fish from high latitudes have better oils than fish from low latitudes?
Yeah, actually, it is true because the fish that swim in the colder waters, they need to operate under colder temperatures, and they need to have a fat that is not solid, like a saturated fat. They need more of the unsaturated fat. So it is true, you find more of the omega-3 in fish that operates in cold waters.
And as a young man growing up in Norway, you were a gymnast, and so goes the legend that you having access to all of these amazing omega-3s in the fish oil came to recognize the anti-inflammatory properties of fish oil. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I was a gymnast and I had falls. I hurt myself, and as a result, I damaged my shoulder and my knee, and I got scar tissue. And to a certain level, some arthritis in my joints. So I started to take fish oil to reduce the inflammation, and actually I'm not supposed to say inflammation, just as you know it, but I took fish oil to reduce the pain, and it worked fantastic. So it became part of just other people eating. I took it every day, and when I moved to the United States, at that point there was not any large interest for omega-3, and there was, in my opinion, not good products on the market.
Right. Now, in Norway, was there a tradition of fish oils consuming?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a tradition for centuries. It's basically the stock fish has been a tradition that has been sold around Europe for bacalao and basically protein and vitamins, and then they started using the oil literally hundreds of years ago, and everybody take it. My grandmother took the oil every day, and before I went to school I had to take a spoon of cod liver oil. My mom sometimes put some strawberry jam on the front of the spoon just to
as a little special inducement. But you know, there was something very wise in that tradition of cod liver oil then, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was. It was basically more like a nutrition supplement, they thought. And, you know, food was scarce many times in Norway. So they didn't really realize the benefit, but it became a daily staple, pretty mm-hmm. much.
It was food, and there was, when it was the only food, it was the food, so you ate it and didn't think necessarily about the anti-inflammatory properties or whatever the properties
yeah,
were. You
yeah,
just took them because you were hungry.
Yeah, and they knew more about the content of vitamin A and D than the benefits of omega-3, basically.
And so when you were going to school at Santa Clara, of course, there was no fish oil supplement industry per se, was there?
There was. Omega-3s were sold in the United States. There wasn't much interest for them, but I think the reason there was no interest is because the products were of poor quality. They were nothing that I could take. They were rancid. Mm-hmm. They smelled. I didn't think they didn't look clean to me. So I think that's one reason why there was not much into it.
I remember those. I remember, you know, popping open a fish oil capsule and smelling the rancid oil, and I was thinking, well, I pass on this, but that has all since been changed, and largely to Uar Opheim, the Nordic natural pioneer of fish oil, and that's the subject we're working today. Fish oil, really want to know how on earth they get all those great big huge giant fish into those little tiny capsules. And who better to ask than Uar himself? He is with us today. So if you folks out there have any questions relating to fish oil and supplementing with nutritional supplements like fish oil, pick up your phone and join us. We're at 800-624-2665, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Michael Olson, this is the Food Chain Radio program on the GCN Network. We will be right back. Please do stay tuned.
Get this. You can earn a 5-, 6-, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city. You can be old or young, rich or poor, married or single. You can rent, lease, or own. You can farm small fruits on prairie bench lands, houseplants in coastal valleys, flowers on steep wooded hillsides, vegetables in city green belts, ornamentals in neighborhoods of million-dollar homes. There's only one catch. You must compete with other farmers for the consumer dollars. You can compete with others and win the consumer dollars with the help of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for profit in or near the city. MetroFarm is the Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner that will guide you step by step through the planning and development of your very own income-generating metropolitan farm. Abraham Lincoln said the greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living on a small parcel of land. Get in on the future today. Get a copy of MetroFarm at www.metrofarm.com.
Welcome back. Michael Olson here. This is the Food Chain Radio program today. We're talking with Uar Opheim. He, the founder and CEO of Nordic Naturals, the probably one major originator of our fish oil habit that we have developed here in the United States. Many of us now supplement with fish oil, and Uar was there at the beginning of all of that. And it was a recognition that we are running short of essential fatty acids. So Uar, maybe you can help educate us, as it were, as to what exactly fatty acids are and what role they play in our body.
Yeah, fatty acids are fats. They are liquids in pretty much any temperatures down to 32 degrees.
So this is different than the fat we think of, on a fatted cow or something like that, right?
Exactly. That would be called a saturated fat. And the essential fatty acids, they are basically have a length of carbons that are put together starts at 18 carbons. And the reason I'm mentioning that is because the body can make up to 18 carbons, but it cannot make 18 carbons and more. And the two key unsaturated fats, just to let it be said, is called EPA and DHA, and EPA is 20 carbons and DHA is 22. So obviously, these are fats that the body has to get from the outside. Mm-hmm. But they are found in the heart muscle, in the brain, basically in the cell membranes throughout the body. So they are believed to be essential to us. Keeps the cell membrane open so the waste product can get out so that the cell works optimally, makes the cells talk to each other, etc. So that's why researchers, after they found that children did not develop optimally unless they had these fats, they named them essential. And that's why they are called essential fatty acids, just because researchers found that children needed them to develop.
And there are there are omega-3 and 6 and 9 fatty acids. What are the differences between those?
Well, omega-3 and omega-6, technically, it's just a chemical difference. They have double bonds, and omega-3 has a double bond in the third position. The omega-6 has it in the sixth position. So they also named omega-6 essential, but it has been found later that there are very few omega-6s that are critically important to us. It's the omega-3s are important, but there are some omega-6s that are not important. For example, safflower oil, sunflower oil, corn oil is all omega-6, and what has research shown is that they actually tend to increase inflammation in the body.
Oh.
So today, researchers say that, you know, if you want to do yourself a favor, look at the safflower, sunflower, corn oil, and just empty it out of your closet, because you don't need them. They give you inflammation, and they can hurt you. So they are omega-6s, but we are told to get rid of them, some of them.
There you go. So it's the omega-3s that we really want to supplement with. That's the precious stuff then.
Yeah, the goal is to have the ratio of the omega-3 to omega-6 in the United States today is probably 1 to 22, meaning that we take about 22 times more omega-6 than omega-3, and the researchers want that to be more like 1 to 5 or 1 to 3.
Oh, goodness. So then we're taking... We're taking four times too many omega-6s.
That's correct.
Than we should be. And that's the problem, that one of the problems, dietary problems that we're running into then. What happens when there's too many of omega-6s in relation to too many omega-3s? What happens when we're taking four times more omega-6s than we should be?
Well, the body would love to have some... omega-3, for example, in the cell membranes. You know, we have literally hundreds of billions of cells, and the cell membrane wants to be have a liquid fat in it. So it's very fluid, it's very sensitive to input, and it also is transparent. So the waste product inside every cell, because the cell is a little engine, so it has waste product, and that needs to come out through this cell membrane.
Mm-hmm.
And when we don't have omega-3, we use other fats to substitute for omega-3. So then we use omega-6, saturated fats, etc. So that kind of clogs the cell membrane. We also so the cell is not working optimally, and we also have inflammation in the body, in the arteries, in the organs, in the kidneys, the liver, in the heart muscle, in the brain. So we are basically walking around with inflammation, and we are walking around with the cells that are not functioning optimally.
How did our diets become so out of balance that we're taking four times too many omega-6s to omega-3s? What happened to our diet?
Well, if you go to Cuba, I mean, I don't think you're supposed to go unless you get permission to go. But I have been to Cuba, and I looked at what went on with their diet, and they don't necessarily eat a lot of fish, even though they are an island. They do eat a tremendous amount of meat, but if you test the grass in Cuba, you will find a lot of omega-3 in the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Because they never used the fertilizers. They have been organic farming from day zero.
Right.
And, with the processed foods, we tend to change things. The processing kind of takes out the nutrition. The fertilizer kind of impacts the soil. So slowly the omega-3 level in the environment has been removed, and the foods that we started eating, there was no omega-3 in them, but there was omega-3 in the first place. So that's what has happened.
Wow. The interesting thing about Cuba is that it's kind of been shut off from all of the inputs of modern agriculture, and because of that, it has foods rich in omega-3s.
Exactly.
Wow, there it is, folks. And then when we do not have the right balance, which we do not have, we find ourselves in trouble now. Is there any other way of any other oil, plant oils that are rich in omega-6s?
In omega-6?
Omega-3s.
You have seeds, you have chia seeds, you have flax seeds. You also, these days, you have algae oils from algae, and the fish eats the algae, and what's taking place these days is that the humans have started to harvest the algae and take out the omega-3s from the algae directly.
Hmm.
So yes, there is a vegetarian source of omega-3 growing rapidly right now.
Well, when we gonna take a quick break, but when we come back, we're gonna talk with Yoar Opheim about what it took to build a business out of essential fatty acids and fish oils. I mean, how on earth do you get all those big fish into all those little capsules? And then how do you convince the world that it is a good thing to do to take them? This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson on the GCN Radio Network today with Yoar Opheim. He, the founder and CEO of Nordic Naturals, one of the nation's premier purveyors of omega-3 fatty acid fish oils. Right back. Do stay tuned. Hey out there, welcome back. Michael Olson here. This is the Food Chain Radio Program on the GCN Radio Network. Today we're talking about fish oil and long-chain omega-3 fatty acids and what good they do for our bodies and why our bodies need them and how on earth do you build a business out of that. Who better to ask than Yoar Opheim? He, the founder and CEO of Nordic Naturals. You are the legend has it that you... We're going back and forth from Norway to school at Santa Clara University, and you're carrying suitcases full of fish oil because you couldn't find it here. And from there, you established a global business in fish oil. Just as simple as that, right?
Yeah, that's true. I was carrying fish oil from Norway with me when I was a student here, and then it grew.
Mm-hmm. Now, what did your friends say when you were, you know, when you'd show up back in Santa Clara with a suitcase full of fish oil? They kind of look at you and go, boy, those people in Norway must be crazy.
Yeah, that's exactly what they thought. They thought I was crazy.
And why did you could have been carrying marijuana or something really precious. Instead, you have fish oil. What on earth do you do with fish oil? And yet, it was very precious stuff to you because it was part of your life as a gymnast. It's how you coped with the aches and pains and sprains of muscles that you used intensively in gymnastics. And how did you make the transition from being just a consumer of fish oil? When was that moment that you thought, boy, I could make a business out of this?
Well, I really thought that a lot of people could benefit from it. I had friends that I knew could benefit. I gave it to people that had problems with arthritis, that had joint pain, that had other issues, and they all they loved it. And I had to bring in more and more because more people became part of my list. So I didn't only bring it for myself, but for a larger group of people. So one day I said, you know, there is not the quality out there today that I need. So let's start making it in Norway and bringing it into the United States and selling it. And it was very difficult. Nobody really knew what it was. I went to companies that sold supplements, and they said that we can't sell this, it's too expensive. And I said, well, it's expensive. It's slightly more than other omega-3 products, but it works. And they said that, well, you know, omega-3 is omega-3. There is really no difference. I said, there is a difference. And they said, well, my salespeople tell me there isn't. So that's the end of it. So it was very tough to get the word out. The business was basically started by giving the product to medical doctors.
Oh, really? So you went to medical doctors and said, try this?
Yeah. If we didn't do that, the company would have never happened. I spent all the few dollars I had trying to get it into the health food store, and there was no chance. There was no interest. So the medical doctors used it, and they talked to each other, and the word of mouth kind of saved Nordic Naturals as a company, because they started using it and having results, and it grew rapidly within the professional market, as we call it, between medical doctors and chiropractors, particularly medical doctors. So the company was started in 1995, and it wasn't until 2001 when literally people begged us to go into the health food stores, that we went into the health food stores. Until 2001, we only sold to the doctors.
Wow. And so how did you go about formulating this? Because you can't just, you know, go out and catch a fish and stick it in a little capsule. I mean, there's some work there. There's some significant work there.
There is a lot of work, and I always had a genuine interest in omega-3s. I'm from a city called Bodø. The city is surviving on fish. Today it has a university and a lot of other things, but the city is created around fish. And fish is a subject that you can study at the universities. You can get a PhD in fish in Norway. I don't know if you can get it anywhere else, but anyway... you have to understand the refining process, how it works, and you have to be open to trying new things to keep the product fresh and to keep it pure, and that became kind of a something that I had a genuine interest in. I couldn't stop thinking about it, so that's where the focus was, to get a clean and a fresh product out the door.
Because if you don't, they of course become rancid really quickly, and then you find yourself in big trouble. Did you have help? I mean, you must have had some pretty smart people working on this.
I had some help. I got some help from some researchers from the university. But they all were excited about it. They were really excited about it, and they loved it as much as I did. So we worked on it, and at the end of the day, we had a product that did not compare to others. The key thing here was for us as a company to start doing more and more of the process ourselves, and doing more and more of the development so that we could control the quality. So that started very early in the in the process, and that has been key to making a good product.
And what kind of fish do you use?
We use Arctic cod that we fish up in Arctic Norway. We use that for the cod liver oil and for a lot of children's products. And then we use anchovies. Anchovies is wild anchovies, which is the research says if we ate more anchovies, we wouldn't have any issues, because there's so much of it. But it's not something that we eat. So we use that, and then we use a little bit of wild salmon from. Or cuts from wild salmon up in Alaska. That's a very small piece. And most of it is cod liver oil and anchovies.
And these principally from higher latitudes?
Well, the anchovies are not from higher latitudes. Anchovies are from Chile, outside of Chile and Peru.
Okay.
But they travel. They travel to colder waters, and, you know, the further down south you go, at the end, it's going to be cold there too. So they have high, relatively high content, and they are low on the food chain, so they are clean. They are clear
of mercury. Yeah. Well, yeah. Folks, I see we have some phone calls. I've been hogging your, I'll pay them all for myself, but I will take you to the phones when we get back from this message. The phone number's today, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back with Mr. Fish Oil himself, your Alpheim Nordic Naturals. Do stay tuned. What on earth is in that capsule of fish oil that you eat every day? Is it good fish? Is it bad fish? Who knows? What does it do for our body? All of those things we're trying to figure out as we talk with U.R. Alpheim. He, the founder and CEO of Nordic Naturals, one of the nation's preeminent fish oil purveyors. And we have people on the line who want to talk. The phone number is today, 800-624-2665. 831-479-1080. Right now, we're going to try Liz, who's on the line. Liz, welcome to the food chain.
Oh, thank you. Listen, I love your programs every week, but this is very, I'm just so interested today. You know, I'd like to share that when we were kids, very young, my father used to line us all up every morning, hold our noses, and we had to take a tablespoon of cod liver oil. And we also used to eat anchovies in our home. Now, here's my question, and I really appreciate today's program. A cardiologist, in fact, suggested salmon oil a couple of years ago, and I've been taking one per day, 300 milligrams, and it's a wild salmon soft gels. And I'm thinking today I have to look around and see if I can find something made from, that comes from codfish. But anyhow, now here's my question. When it's warm weather here, even though the cabinets are cool, the gels, you know, they stick together and et cetera. So I've been keeping them in the refrigerator, and although it does say do not refrigerate. Now, can you tell me, have I lost any of the, the wonderful reactions that I should be having from taking the cell gels, or...
Good question, Miss Liz. Let's ask Yor. Yor, are we losing some of the benefits of our omega-3s by refrigerating them?
Correct. I'd like to know, and if so, I'll just go, yeah.
Thank you for the call, Liz.
Thank you.
Let me just answer something that hasn't been asked first.
Okay.
And that is that when you take omega-3, they have different concentrations of these two fats that's called EPA and DHA. And if you look at the fish oil supplement, they will list EPA and DHA, and they will do that in milligrams. And the researchers do agree that in order to be effective, that number needs to be 500 milligrams, the EPA and the DHA. And I heard a lady here saying that she takes one capsule of salmon oil to help her heart health. I don't think that is enough. I think that's too little.
She said 300, and you're saying that the minimum EPA and DHA, I think that's what they are, is 500. Yeah. So she needs to do twice as many as she's doing.
She needs to, and salmon oil is wonderful. It happens to be lower in EPA and DHA than anchovies, also lower than slightly lower than cod liver oil. So it's just to look around and find something that you like and that you hit that 500 milligram number. Having said that, he's asking if it's better to put it in the fridge. The answer is yes, it is better. It's colder. You are less susceptible to variations in the gelatin around the capsule based on heat and variations in temperature. It is fresher longer if you keep it in the refrigerator. So
good. Thank you very much for that call, Liz. Really appreciate that. And let's see. Let's go to drop her, and we'll go to Dick. Dick, welcome to the Food Chain Radio program. You're talking with U.R. Oppheim. He's the founder and CEO of Nordic Naturals.
Good morning, Michael, and good morning. There have been reports of GMO in your product, and I would appreciate it if he would address that.
The question was whether there is any GMO in our product. Is that the question?
That was the question, yeah.
Apparently your product has been tested, and they found traces of genetically modified oils and genetically modified foodstuffs in your fish oil, and I would like to know what the truth is about that.
Yeah, the truth is that it has never happened, and it never will happen. So I don't know who tested it. All we use is wild oil. We are a non-GMO company. We're working extremely hard on the movement. The one part of the industry that the non-GMO project has not approved, and by the way, we are working with them every single month, and we had several meetings with them, is actually gelatin. Gelatin is something that the non-GMO project will not approve because they don't know what the cows have eaten, because gelatin does come from cows. It also comes from fish. We use fish gelatin. And these days, the technology for gelatin from vegetarian sources are getting better. We're working on that also. But to summarize, if you ask me in January if we can put a non-GMO on every single product that we have, the answer is yes. And we are the only company in the world that can do that, fish oil company in the world. And we will be the only company so far in the world that use gelatin that can do that.
So that's the only place that there would be any GMOs would be in the gelatin then, and you're saying that you're using gelatin made from...
Basically, you can't prove that there is any GMO in the gelatin, and it isn't, because, you know, the gelatin has to be heated and processed, because what people are afraid of is the mad cow disease, etc., etc. The European Union has a very strict regulatory step-by-step process for gelatin. But what we are doing now, we are sourcing gelatin from
good places. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll follow that up. But really want to ask, can we sustain the fisheries with the need for the oil? Do stay tuned. So much to talk about, so little time to talk about it in your... We were talking a little bit about the notion that there could be GMOs that leaked into the food chain somehow. And I had to step on your toes a little bit there to get to a break. So do you want to finish that comment, your thought there?
Yeah, I just want to say that, I have to say it's not the case with Nordic Naturals. We are advocates... there are no GMO in the product, and I talked a little bit about gelatin. Although there's no GMO found in gelatin, we have worked with New Zealand, and as of January, we can put the non-GMO stamp on every product that we have, every official product that we have, and that stamp comes from the non-GMO body. So I'm very proud of that, and we worked very hard on it. So the answer is there is no GMO in our products, and if somebody thinks they found it, then I would argue that the analysis or the lab test is straight out wrong.
Okay, good. Now, the thing that really concerns a lot of people is the fact that we're going to fish out all the fish for the oil. Is the fishery sustainable, you are?
Well, there is about 100 million tons of fish fished every year. It does not really vary. It could be 98, it could be 102 the next year. But the fact is that there's more and more people living on the globe every year. So that it will be a challenge, I believe it will be. And that's why some people have seen the opportunity to do fish farming, etc. But when it comes to omega-3 fish oil, about 1.5% of everything that's fished is used for omega-3 fish oil. So about 1.5% of what is fished. So it's a very small piece of it, but it doesn't mean that we don't have to look at other sources. So we are looking for other sources all the time. Like we talked about earlier, we're using algae. Right now we're doing a project for the University of Tromsø where we go through pretty much what's in the ocean and analyzing it and coming up with new sources for omega-3. So we are very involved in the work at the grassroots level. And yes, I feel like we need to look everywhere to find omega-3 sources that does not come from fish, even though the omega-3 fish oil is a very, very small piece of what's fished.
And, of course, the omega-3s come from the greens of the algae and simple plant life, right? And they work their way up through the food chain and become concentrated in higher animals like fish and like farm animals and whatnot. So that's why we tend to look there. But if somehow we're able to bypass, you know, those higher animals and reach way down to the bottom of the food chain for our omega-3s, it might be a little bit easier, huh?
Exactly. And it's very exciting work that we're doing right now.
Well, it does indeed sound like you've got some very exciting work going on. And always wanted to visit Norway. Being of Scandinavian descent, going to make it a project because I can go up there and get all the fish I want, and I love fishing. You are Oppheim, founder and CEO of Nordic Naturals. Thank you for joining us today. Really appreciate it. A lot of fun. Learned a lot. And thank you all out there. As you go out into your week, remember Michael Olson's third law of the food chain. Cheap food isn't. Now, see you next week for more What's Eating What Radio on the Food Chain.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.